If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This feels like a small window into the future. Well, this is fucking brilliant. Thank you so much. I'm cursing on the RTE News again. Yes! Woo! And this song is called Paradise.
Hello and welcome to the Niall or Nine podcast. It is Niall and Andrea, and it is Friday morning. And it's the day after a test pilot event that happened in the Ivy Gardens in Dublin. So the first gig back in Ireland officially, really, this year. And so I was there. I got to go to it last night. There was James Vince McMorrow and Sorka Richardson. And
I wasn't there.
Andrea was not there. So I'm here to tell herself and you guys all about what happened last night and how I feel about it. I guess it's a weird one to be at an event, which is, you know, touted as the first gig back, 500 people. So for context, I guess it's you may have seen the videos. And I would say there's one thing about the videos is that they probably don't do the atmosphere or the number of people there justice. You know, there's 500 people outdoors in the Ivy Gardens. If anyone's ever been to the Ivy Gardens gigs, like I remember being at St. Vincent there, you'd fit a number of like a few thousand people there in the hollow in the Ivy Gardens. It's a lovely space. And so they had it set up like that, big stage at one end. And so it was all marked out with pods, of course. And this is what the setup was, right? So this pilot event had pods of 2 to 4 people, all socially distant from each other, marked out on the ground with ropes all the way back on the pitch. It had staggered entrances, and you were given a time to go between 5 and 7 to arrive in.
And in terms of the pods, how did they work? What if you were going on your own?
Yeah, I don't know. Didn't see anyone on their own. But okay. I was technically on my own when I went in because I got in through the media, and so you were
media was kind of over on the right hand side.
Yeah, so the media was up higher above the pitch.
The plebs, the plebs. You can say the plebs.
No, they're the real crowd. That's where I wanted to be.
I'm joking.
Yeah, so anyone who was working in the media was basically the side of the pitch, and there was lots of camera people and photographers, and Patrick Crane furiously, actually a great setup. He was writing his piece on his laptop, sitting down at the top of the hill, and I was like, that's a nice thing to be able to do.
I saw along that side of the, where all of you guys were sitting, in different people's pictures, I saw a couple of different people sitting with their laptops. And I was like, God, yeah, that's the dream, really, to just getting your notes down on a laptop. And
absolutely. Yeah, I was going to go up and say hello to Patrick at the end, and then I realized, no, he's still writing.
Yeah, he's just sitting still typing furiously.
But very good. It was nice to be like a probably a very handy thing to be able to do. You could leave your stuff down, not like a regular gig.
Oh, it's the dream.
So yeah, it was that. It was you come in and there's peoples in rows of pods, all the way in front of the stage, all marked out. You're supposed to wear your mask in between. We're going to get into the wider maybe ramifications of like what this was, what it achieved. But I would like to talk about like just the actual experience of it for someone who goes to gigs a lot and who defines a lot of their identity as, you know, something that I identify gigs as something that improves my mental health. And Because I know that now, because I haven't had that for, what, 16 months, whatever it is. I've been to whatever, one gig last year in the Workman's. I went to see Padge, an socially distant, like, reduced capacity Workman's Club gig. So this was the first, certainly the first outdoor gig since 2019, I don't know when. So it's a long time, and it's a long time, and it's certainly the biggest number of people I've been around for a long time. And I know...
Can I ask, just before you get into that, just one more thing on the logistics of getting in and out. What was it like actually, not inside Ivy Gardens, like leading up to it? Because I think the reason I didn't go was because I was a bit nervous about before and after the gig, as opposed to during the gig sort of thing. Was it busy? Were people able to kind of keep their distance as they were making their way in?
Yeah, well, I would say because of the 500 people, it didn't really feel like a lot. And because people were given different times to arrive, that seemed to work mostly, because really I'd say there was about 30 people outside the venue get coming in about 20 to 7, so Sorg Richardson started at 7.
Yeah,
so really, you know, and they do big long snaking barriers so that when you come in you're funneled through those.
Yeah,
so there's no standing
and then
around.
Was it the same when you were leaving? Do people kind of leave in
one-way system on the way in and on the way out? So one-way system also to the toilets and back, so it kind of, you left the main pitch and loop around to the left by, say, you know, the Ivy Gardens where the green area is. Around, you go around by what are they called, like the water features, the waterfall there, you go around by that and then come back around the other way by the entrance to come back in. And you're supposed to wear a mask on the way in, and when the way out they had like a little crepe van and a coffee and a ice cream place. So obviously there was no bar at last night's event. You know, would have liked, at one point I was like, yeah, because I'd love a pint now just for the, it was so warm. It was a lovely warm night, evening in the Ivy Gardens. So that was a nice, really nice thing. So yeah, the logistics of it felt fairly plain and easy. There's no such thing as a bottleneck. Even at the end of the gig, everyone asked to leave kind of socially distant and staggered as well. But it kind of was a bit slight free-for-all, but like, you know, everyone's still maintaining distance big time, because there's only 500 people in the Ivy Gardens. Is not a lot.
No.
And it doesn't feel like a lot. But I will say, you look at the videos and stuff from it, and you don't see, it looks like less people than it felt like last night. It felt full-ish, you know. It felt like it was, there was a buzz. There was a buzz. And I think that's the thing. So, like, you know, Sorg Richardson came out at 7. She's very much playing the support act role. I think I went through a lot of different phases of you know, emotions at the gig, because it's just, it's been so long. And first of all, it's like, oh, is this weird? This is a bit weird. And then, yeah, we all know it's a bit weird because, you know, it's a pilot event. It's not a regular gig. So I think the first thing is that, first of all, sets were great. Sorca did about 40 minutes. And then James came out, and James McMorrow played Me and My Friends was the first track. You may have seen it because it was all, it's all up on National Concert Hall YouTube. So himself and the brass section started off, and it was just, it was a real, like, it was a moment. It felt really nice to see a group of musicians up on a stage come out swinging and, you know, really lay into the first song. And it felt like that, and it felt like, you know, there was a palpable buzz, and like, I really enjoyed the gig, and I got emotional a few times, you know, in it. And I think that's what I was looking for. I was looking for what the emotions would feel like being at this gig, what, how I would feel. And I definitely had one of those moments. There's a song called Red Dust that James has where he really hits a really high falsetto. And I had one of those moments where I was like, this is what I was missing, you know? So that was really interesting. But I think the other aspect of it, it's like you start off and you're like, this is weird. And then you forget. And then you're like,
yeah,
there's a whole other personal aspect to this. And for me personally, I have to, it's worth mentioning because it's something I've missed. My peers were there. People in my industry were there. People who I work with were there. And I have not seen them for a year and a half. So, you know, and it kind of, it gave me some form of validation because I was able to see people who do what I do or people who work in music or work in media who I know, who I've not seen since whenever, January or February or before, January, February 2020 or October, November, December 2019. And there was some form of validation there, I think, because, you know, we haven't had, like, it's everything's been so virtual. So, been able to have a very casual conversation with somebody. I think personally for me, that was just a nice, really nice, like, ah, God, this is just so normal, you know? Mm. Like, it really felt like the normality was there in full effect. And in that regard, because I just missed it. It's like the, you know, I work for myself mostly and I now work at home all the time. So, like everyone else, and you miss those little casual interactions. And then,
well, it's the water cooler, isn't it?
You know, exactly. All, yeah.
Even when we're not working, even back when, say, you had the office, you weren't working in an office with your peers, really. You know, with the people that you would have been running into last night at the gig, and gigs are that for us music journos or people who work in music who aren't musicians. You know, that's kind of where we all get together and have a time, have a catch up, see what gig is coming up next, find out some gossip from somebody, some booker or something.
Exactly, and be able to congratulate on something that happened in their lives
or to say,
you know, just anything really that might relate to you might have seen in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
But also, like, personally for me...
And for you, like, to be, like, observed by somebody else as well.
Yeah, you know, I think that was it. You know, there's an element of... The passage of time has been suspended for 16 months. So therefore, those little conversations that mark that time has passed have not happened. And so I had a lot of those last night where it was like, they might have been very casual. They might have been about my personal life and how things were going. But there were new questions and there was different answers. And that is like, it's actually really, it really felt like, okay, we have moved on. Last year was last year and this year is this year. There's different things happening. Life is different. Life is more positive. There are things that I'm talking about now that I wasn't talking about last time I was at gigs, you know? My personal life is different. Everything is different. So that was really nice. It was some sort of personal validation, but also, how would you describe it? Like, it really underscored the passing of time and it really made me feel like, yeah, we are in the present. Like Una said, I was talking to Melanie a lot last night, and like one thing she was saying was, you know, we talk about where we're going and where we've been, but why, what about now? Where are we now? You know what I mean? Like, we're always like, restrictions lifting, all this kind of stuff. We need to be in the now. And so last night's gig for me was some element of just being able to be at a gig, experience it in all its weirdness as it was, but also take in art and listen to live music. And I have to say, whoever was doing the playlist in between the acts was doing a stellar job. So shout out to whoever who did that. They were playing like Where My Rolex by Wiley. They played Marie Davidson, Work at the Soul Wax remix that I always played in 2019. Just loads of bangers. And it was like a subtle act of defiance. It was like, here's the National Concert Hall putting on an event in the Ivy Gardens, and we're hearing these like wall bangers, you know, absolute like huge like dance tracks. And you're like, somebody knows what they're at here. And I really enjoyed that.
And another kind of practical question. I saw photos and videos of people sitting sometimes, people standing sometimes. What was the general vibe? Was it kind of like sitting on your picnic blanket and then when the acts come out?
I think when Sorca played at first, it was very much like Sunday afternoon at a festival, everyone's lolling around. That kind of vibe. It felt a bit like that. But then they got up. Most people got up. And I think especially for James, they got up. And there was a lot of dancing. And I think that's the other part about it. And that was the other interesting... Like, I mean, it's not, like, I'm talking about a gig here. It's so mad that like this is news to me. But it is. And I want to talk about it because it's important. Because we haven't had it. And that's why we're doing this. Because, you know, watching other people at it was one of the most... As well as watching the gig... was a lovely, another lovely part of this experience, because you see people in their pods, like family, like James' parents were there somewhere, James McMorrow's parents. You had people you know, casually or not, but like seeing them, people with their partners, people hugging, people dancing, you know, people swaying. And you're just, it was so interesting just watching people, the dynamic of people. In
you know,
crowd.
It's been so long since we've observed other people listening to music. Do you know what I mean? Like we've been listening to music a lot by ourselves, and also we've been kind of discussing music a lot with each other, with our friends, podcasts, the like. But to actually like observe other people enjoy music and move with music, and so I think I'm really, really excited about that when that does. Start happening for me. And I mean, you know, my age group is registering from next week, so I think I will be at gigs this year. I'm a bit of a baby when it comes to the trial gigs, and I think that's okay too. So if anybody didn't go and is feeling a lot of FOMO, but they didn't go because they were nervous or anything, let me be your representative. It's also okay not to go to the things if you're
absolutely
if you're nervous.
And
even though it sounds super safe, it's just, you know, these things are.
And it was an outdoor event, so you know they are safer. And we'll get into the actual you know, pilot part of the pilot gig shortly. Just to say, you know, after like just watching people and being there myself and the distance, it really so there's the first thing is, I guess this is the start, the beginning of the end is what it felt like. And I heard that phrase a lot last night, the beginning of the end, you know. And that's where we're like, okay, we have moved on, things have happened, we are not going back to where we were, we shouldn't be going back into lockdown based off events like this, because we are moving forward. And it did feel like that, but it also allowed me to kind of, you know, like I went through different emotions, because I was, you know, you got used to it then, and you got used to being at a gig, and you had, and you reminded me that one of the lovely things I love about being at festivals and stuff, and it's very subtle and small, but like you might have a slight like daydream thought or something like that to the music, and you know, or watch a, you know, you might watch a bird over over the stage, or like the trees blowing in the wind. And
that's meditation you're describing now.
Yeah.
And it is meditative, isn't it?
Well, that's what it is for me.
I miss that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially those kind of like the atmosphere that you were describing of during the day at a festival when everyone's a bit panned out and just kind of chilling. Those, you get some good thoughts during
you're in a good place, and it gives you a space in which to think about your life and where you're at and what's happening and other people. And it was lovely. I got that nice buzz at it. And you know, as I said, there's no alcohol or anything last night, so it was just like, it was the music that did that. It was the music that I reacted to. It was the music that I responded to. And the other thing as well is, like, for a long time since I heard music that loud, so physically, you know, I could feel bass lines and I could feel drums and I could feel things hitting my chest and hitting my body. And that was, I think, after 16 months of restrictions where we don't know, we're not allowed to do things and we're told we have to stay apart and all that kind of thing. I know that last night was not perfect in terms of its setup and all that. But what I would say is it is very much a experiential. It's a thing that happens to you when you're at a gig, and it's important to recognize the value of those live gigs and that experience and that shared collective experience. James joked about it. I have a bit of audio actually.
Like, music obviously had to stop. Like, music, the loss of it, the loss of art, the loss of culture, the loss of connection, the loss of me talking shit to you people, and you have to listen because I have a microphone and you don't. Like, you know how long I've been waiting to be on a microphone again to talk shit, lord it over people? It's just, this just is needed. And I hope whoever is out there that's listening that has to make this happen for the rest of the summer understands the power and the beauty of this thing. Our job is to put on the best show possible and hope that that happens. Your job is to listen and...
Lording it over everybody with a microphone is like, I wanted to hear somebody talk and just talk shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Somebody I couldn't tell to shut up or turn off. Somebody that I had to listen to. Somebody that I couldn't forward, rewind, or ignore. You know what I mean? I wanted to, I couldn't change this. I had to experience it. And I loved that part of it. Like giving yourself over again. Those small little things that you forgot, that you took for granted, that happens at gigs. That you're just like, these happen at gigs all the time. But you can't, you don't necessarily have that at home watching a live stream or whatever it is.
I was going to ask you about the gig as a pilot event. It has had a little bit of criticism.
Oh yeah.
When you compare it to other pilot events in the UK and in Europe, I think especially considering the layout of the audience that was there wouldn't be dissimilar to St. Stephen's Green on a Saturday or Sunday or some other public area. And I think some criticism that was leveled against it as a pilot event and not as a lockdown event or as a restricted event would be that maybe there was more room to have it more like a normal gig. And that would surely be the piloting and introducing testing, going in and out and all of that kind of stuff. How do you feel about those sorts of criticisms?
Yeah, honestly, I feel having gone there now and seeing it and experiencing it, I see the total validity in the argument of that. It's like, what was the point of this gig? I mean, it's hard.
Like,
to...
what exactly was it testing? I suppose.
Well, that's the thing.
And this,
right?
So, and this isn't me. This is kind of what I've been seeing people say. But what is if this is a pilot event? Are we piloting this as events? Or are the next few pilot events going to be, are we going to push our luck, so to speak, a little bit more with each one? I don't know.
Okay, so let's just talk about the actual setup of this, because to get in, all you had to do was buy a ticket. And I mean, I was trying last week. I got in through the media list. So that's what I'm saying. That's how I got in. I couldn't buy a ticket on the day. I met our boy Luke Sharkey last night as well. His friend bought a ticket. So I had a great chat with him. He came out afterwards and we had a pint. And
running into Luke at gigs is something I miss as well. I always run into him at gigs. Yeah.
Luke, he's doing great. He's doing well. And it was great to see him. And so the thing is so pilot event here, does it make sense? The requirements to actually enter were... there was no testing done in advance. You were just asked to stay at home if you had any symptoms.
Were you asked at the gate? Are you exhibiting any symptoms?
They took your contact details in advance, and every group, like a booking a restaurant, every group had given a phone number and all the names of everyone that was there.
Okay.
I don't know, like, if, yes. Okay, so the major criticism is, and I totally get this, is that does any data come out of this gig? And the answer seems to be no. I don't know what could come out of this, because you can't track whether anyone has got COVID going in or out, or in before or afterwards.
You would be relying on people to, the organisers would be relying on somebody who has COVID today to get in contact with them,
In the next coming days.
So the onus will be very much on the participants and the audience to let them know.
Yeah, maybe there's going to be some sort of survey, but that's not like that doesn't really cut it in terms of a pilot event.
No, I think, that's not data.
No, it's not data. It's not something you can point to say, well, we can put on gigs. And also it was very much like conservative social distancing outside with masks. is not the same as having, like, obviously where everyone looked at the Liverpool gig that happened in, was that May now? That was like over a month ago.
Yeah.
No social distancing, PCR tests in advance, very successful outcomes of those gigs. Minimal or negligible. Basically, it seemed to be, if you went to those events, the amount of COVID that was around those events was no more than a supermarket, you know?
Yeah. Well, the UK, we're a lot further into their vaccine rollout than we are at the moment. But, that's a question I had for you, actually. What was the kind of, what was the age group like? Would you say a lot of people there would have been vaccinated?
No.
Was it kind of
I don't think
upwards? Or very young,
few
young
people
folks?
Were vaccinated. I think we're talking late 20s, early 30s. Like, Justice McMorrow fan crowd, you know?
Yeah,
that's what it
yeah.
felt like, 20s and 30s, and some older as well, 40s, 50s, but majority.
Did you spot any politicians?
Catherine Martin was there, and Hazel Chew also. They were doing photos at it, so they were spotted. I don't know what this is piloting, is the honest answer. Like, that was why it was so complex. It was like, on a personal note, I had a really enjoyable experience. It reminded me what I was missing. But it also reminded me of the restrictions that have been on my body and everyone else's body in terms of movement. And even at that gig, you're like, you can't go here. You can't just run over there. You can't be here. You can't express yourself in the same way. You can't, if you see somebody in the crowd, you can wave at them, but you can't go near them. Do you know? So what is it achieving? Yeah. And I don't know the answer to that.
I think maybe what it's doing is kind of, I think maybe billing it as a pilot event was a mistake. I think what it was just an opportunity for people to experience live music under restrictions that are at this moment in this country still quite necessary, especially considering the age group that were there. So I definitely, I'm not disagreeing with how they did it, but I would disagree with the use of the term pilot, because I think that does suggest that
you're getting something out of it.
Or that this is going to be a kind of a test for similar gigs going on like this for a long time, maybe.
And I think there is an element of a lot of comments who are like, this looks shit. Why would you do this? I mean, we're doing this because in my head, the reason we were doing this is because whether we live in a conservative society in Ireland and we have to convince people that getting back to gigs is something maybe the Department of Health are more conservative, maybe the government are more conservative in terms of how we're thinking about these. I did a piece this week about the difference between Belgium and Ireland in terms of its restrictions at the moment. And we're pretty much, because they're talking about bringing Pukopop and Tomorrowland back at the end of August. And I know everyone's like gunning for a big festival like Electric Picnic, but we are operating things, and we have been in the last 16 months,
more conservatively.
The discourse is, whoa, Electric Picnic. I don't think people really are really looking for it. But like, that is when a politician lately wants to be down with the kids. They're like, we really want big events like Electric Picnic to happen. And you're like, they're not going to happen. And that festival, Wild Roots, thinks it's going
to
happen.
We need to get coppers open again.
Yeah. Talking about those kind of things. Like, I mean, the Belgian thing is interesting because, like, Pukopop, they're talking about 75,000 people by August 13th. But if you look at there's a comparison on the site now. If you look at it, Belgium at the moment is allowing 2,000 indoor seated social distancing and mask from now, July 1st. And our equivalent is 50 at most venues and 100 with strict measures in place. So it's going to be, we are conservative. And this is, I don't know what, it will be interesting now. So that was the first event. You don't get any data out of it, but what you do get is, is it pure propaganda? Maybe. Like, and what I don't get is that people online
certainly,
who are like, oh, this looks shit, I'd never want to go to this. It's like, no one wants to be at this. Like, really?
Yeah.
This is not the long-term sustainable, like, answer to our live music issue. But it's the first step on the way back to something that will remove. We need to get to the point where we are getting there. The vaccine is going to be administered to people, younger people. And we need to get to that point where the social distancing is scrapped. And that's the key thing. And if this means somebody can, no one can make any money from this. No one can, the bands and all can get some work and people can go to gigs and enjoy it in a different way. But these are short-term solutions. These aren't like, oh, why would you bother? I'm seeing a lot of why would you bother? And I really, that did bother me because I was like, would you rather we didn't have anything? Like, we have to, like, I understand, while I don't necessarily agree with, we need to get back, we need to, like, slowly ramp it up. I understand that idea. And yeah, you can point to Liverpool and you can point to other, but like, you're probably not seeing all those little tiny events of this equivalent size that are happening in other smaller countries that are just not as fun. They're not fun to look at. Like, you're looking at that and going, there was people outside socially distanced. Like, you're not seeing that on Twitter, you know what I mean?
And if the gig went ahead last night and it was, you know, from our very distant society perspective, it was, you know, bedlam and people were really close and there was no social distancing, that would have put people off, I think. I felt more secure in our reopening by actually being able to see how far away people were. And I know that like people, that's not always the most fun thing, but for somebody who, I mean, suffers from anxiety anyway, but especially is especially anxious during like COVID and with the kind of the physical health side of COVID, not to mention the anxiety around just being closer to other people, that gave me a lot of hope, I think. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people like me who feel that as well, who aren't actually ready to go back to a gig, a non-socially distanced gig. If there was one of them put on next week, you couldn't get me in. Like, there's no way. But having seen what they did last night in the Ivy Gardens at the National Concert Hall, I'm like, okay, this seems like a really nice way to ease people back in. And I think as an experiment of easing people back in, it seemed to have done really well. Because like you said, it wasn't as though you missed out on that kind of emotional response. The live music is the thing we're really missing. Yeah, we're missing the crack. Yeah, we're missing, you know, being sweaty in a room full of, you know, however many hundred or thousand people bumping into each other, spilling pints. And we'll get there. But the thing that we're mainly missing is the opportunity to watch and hear talented musicians have the opportunity to say something with their music. And that's the important thing. Do you know, it's not going and drinking a load of pints with your mates. It's like, that's all part of it, and we'll get there, but we're not there yet. So I'm very pro what I saw.
Isn't that exact thing, you know, what we're talking about? Because it's like last year, that was such a huge part of discourse where musicians were speaking up about like how, what they were missing. And this year, that just isn't there anymore. Yeah. In the discourse of like, well, you know, it's important that musicians perform. You know, I saw there was a comment on, did a little news piece about a small rural pop-up venue for six people that's touring around rural locations. And people were, a comment was like, why would you bother? We did this for like, why isn't this free? It was like, what's wrong with musicians making money from their craft? I don't get this. And there's lots of that out there. There's lots of people who don't seem to understand what this is volunteers. Doing for the industry.
This isn't their hobby. Like, this is their job, you know? Yeah.
So that is frustrating, because that is like, I don't know how that got lost between last summer and this summer, or people are just speaking up, or, you know, maybe there's a faction of people out there who are just all sick of this and don't want to talk about it. And also, like, you know what, like, we were talking about this last night. It was afternoon, and went for a pint in the lower deck afterwards, and we're just talking about, you know, people have changed in lockdown. People have changed, hopefully for the better. And I'm sure there's people out there who, you know, are having a hard time. We've all had hard times in the last year, but, you know, it's done negative things to us, and it's done like different things to us. But also, it's been a great opportunity to work on yourself, and, you know. And we were saying, it'll be really nice when we get to go out and we get to meet those new people that we knew before, those new versions of people that we knew. Because maybe there's an element of, you know, oh, I've done a lot of work, or I've, you know, I'm happier, or I'm in a better place. And you'll meet people who are, have
or
slowed
I'm not
down.
In a good place and I need my friends and be there for those people. Yeah.
That too. So that was an interesting thing about it. And I think the sooner, this is the first step back, is the beginning of the end, is something that I heard a lot. It was really interesting. I have some audio here This is let's hear from Mick Rowe, who is the Faction Records, of Faction Records, who release James Mr. McMorrow's music and Sorka Richland as well. So he, I had a chat to him during Sorka Richland set, and then Ona Sullivan from The Point of Everything as well. I caught up with him afterwards. So
we can hear Sorka Richland.
Yes, we can. Second, so. Yes. This is
Mick Rowe.
Yes.
Faction Records.
Yes.
How's it going?
It is very surreal. It is a very surreal time, but it is absolutely amazing. I've had quite a lot of emotions today. The ups and the downs of like being back, and the anxiety and the kind of anticipation of a show.
Yeah.
But
the thing, right? There's the whole part of it.
Yeah.
It's like the anxiety of going.
Yeah.
You all felt that.
So like, yeah, I think it's a big part of it is like there's a lot of fear as well of like this has to go well, this has to, you know, this has to be perfect, but it's been amazing, and this is it. It's like just a, I guess, a kind of a proof of concept that shows can be done, and like, I don't know, it's just so nice to be in a place listening to somebody play live again.
Thank you guys so much for this. This has meant the world to us. I hope that this is the start of the summer that like we deserve. Because let me just say, like, it's kind of strange we're at this point where, like, even as musicians, we're watching people in other countries go back to playing full tours and stuff, and it's weird and strange, but like, we are where we are, and I think Irish people have done themselves incredibly proud this last year, like, in terms of their care for other people. I think it's pretty fucking impressive. When you sacrifice so much, I think that's it. So we're gonna sing one last song, it's called Cavalier. And then we're going to let you guys go back into the night.
Or the dusk,
because it's like 9:15. It's very much a hot girl summer, guys.
You're watching a band on stage, you know, and you're watching a full band performance, like with added horn section. I thought the start of the set was really, really good. So, I mean, that's as good a set as you're going to see from James, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, like, you know, they're calling it a test event. Like, hopefully it all goes smoothly and hopefully there's more incoming and that it'll look more like a gig. I don't know. I thought it was quite nice, you know, seeing all of the pods laid out, but I guess it is kind of weird.
It's very socially distant. Like, it is, you know, I mean, it's 500 people in this place that you can easily hold a few thousand. So you can see the difference there, the capacity reduction and what that actually means, right?
Yeah. I guess it's also kind of weird that there's no alcohol.
Yeah.
Being sold. There's two food trucks. One of them is selling ice cream and one of them is selling crepes. And yeah, they're like in front of a waterfall. So, I mean, like, that's different from a festival as well, isn't it?
That's
no
true.
Alcohol.
That's true. Yeah. But
I'd actually like to see what it would be like with alcohol involved. I think a lot of people probably had like itchy fingers.
Oh, I think a lot of people are itching for that to come back. For sure. Yeah. Hopefully we'll get there soon.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, that was everybody I could really chat to because of the nature of the event. You know, you can't really get close to anyone. So I grabbed Owen at the end of the gig. And by the time we had finished talking, like, it was so quick that everyone had basically left the whole venue. So I couldn't really grab anyone after that. And I wasn't going to be running after people in the street. So, but look, that was the experience. I think there is an element of, I don't know. There's an element of, this is a good thing. This is a good thing that should be happening. Yeah, I understand the wider ramifications of what is perhaps, you know, what's rolling out in the future, what is going to happen with these pilot events. I think it'd be interesting to see, yeah, the rest of the pilot events. Like, the INEC in Killarney with 200 people indoors was announced and sold out in 4 minutes. That's happening on the June 26th as well. So that's a fully seated indoor gig, this fully seated music festival on June 26th in Phoenix Park, Dublin, for up to 3,500 people is due to be announced soon, surely. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with those. But like, and then obviously the Jam Park is no more. So we don't know what's going to happen with the nightclub event. There's now no nightclub in the country, in Dublin anyway, that's certainly fit for a purpose. So we don't know what's going to happen with those. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see. But look,
and just, you know, well done to the organizers. Like it seemed to have gone off completely without a hitch, and people had a nice time, and yeah, good. It's so, a good thing.
It is a good thing. It is a good thing. So yeah, I would say I was happy to be there. I think I've relayed as many feelings as I could about it all. It was a good thing back, and it was just nice to be amongst people again, and to many more of those. And I know James talked about it, and I don't know whether he talked about it as in he was talking it up or he really meant it, but like he's like saying this is a gig to show people that we can do this later this year and have some summer left. I don't know how much of summer we're going to get in terms of gigs, but I think there's an autumn and a winter to come that we will get gigs for sure. So
yeah,
we'll see.
I hope so.
Yeah. And right. It'll all change once we get vaccinated as well. So, you know, and that is coming. That is coming really quickly. So, right. That is it from us this week. It's patreon.com/Niler9. I saw the Discord was all watching the gig online and commenting together, which is just a nice thing. And so if you want access to Discord, patreon.com/Niler9. Andrea, plug your things.
Andrea-cleary.ghost.io or twitter.com/AndreaCleary. And yeah, I'm usually in the business post on a Sunday. Pick that up. I've got some pieces in there this weekend. And yeah, that's it for me, I think. Yeah. This was lovely to do early on a Friday morning. Yeah. Sorry if I've sounded sleepy, and sorry if you could hear my cat purring all around me. She's very needy in the mornings.
There's no video for Andrea today for some reason.
No. If anyone knows how to fix a laptop, get in touch. But yeah, yeah, thanks. And thank you, Niall, for going and reporting back for all of us who couldn't go or weren't quite ready to
go. My absolute pleasure. Thank you for letting me do it.
You're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, well, it was very enjoyable.
Excellent.
Thank you, everybody. We'll be back next week with a chat with Saint Sister. So come and have a listen to that. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.